Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, sun, moon, stars, galaxy. And then let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Well, that covers everything, right? Now, in Leviticus 23:4, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season." Yes, sign, season, days, years. Yes, now, their feast of the Lord's, the feast of the Lord, holy days of Israel. We're in those right now. Elul, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. As I have taught many times through the years, Judaism is filled with many celebrations, feasts, and holy days. Everything God does is established on days, times, and seasons. All of the feasts of the Lord have great meaning between God and humanity, especially for the Jewish people, as types and shadows fulfilled by God Jesus Christ, and fulfilled by the Holy Ghost, brought forth by the Holy Ghost. Jesus came and fulfilled God the Son, Christ Jesus. We know that God the Son, Jesus, gave real meaning and fulfillment to the types and shadows in the Old Testament feast and holy days. Also in the giving of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, other New Testament fulfillments. The Holy Ghost fell in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, a feast. So we're Christians, not Jews, but Christianity is based on Judaism. Judaism contains the foundation and the fathers of Christianity. So although we are not bound legalistically to observe Jewish traditions, in other words, we're not just absolutely bound by God to do that, being Christians, as far as we can tell, it is still good to understand and regard God the Father's original intent with the feasts and memorials and appointed times that He set up, that God set up. Those truths are still eternal. They have multi-layered meanings, and they still apply to us today. Therefore, let us keep the feast, the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul, Christian, after the cross. He said, let us keep the feast. So though we are Christians and are not totally just bound to do just like the Jewish would do to observe Old Testament feasts, it still seems the right thing to do to heed to God the Father's original times and seasons, to understand God's fullest intent behind all the appointed times, to regard, honor, commemorate, and respect these days in a special way, to draw close to God not only every day, but with special commemoration on the special holy days. The fall feast of the Lord, the high holy days of the Lord are coming upon us. The month of Elul, this year started sundown on August the 24th, and it began on August the 25th, ending in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah and September 22. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpet, Jewish New Year, one Tishrei, starts at sundown September 22nd. That evening, then that next morning, we start celebrating Yom Kippur, the Great Day of Atonement. 10 Tishrei starts at sundown on Tuesday, September the 23rd. Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, 15 Tishrei starts after that. The Jewish people consider the fall season to be the holiest among the year. The main Jewish calendar begins on Rosh Hashanah, their new year, sometimes in our September or October. See what I mean? So, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year. There's much great significance of Rosh Hashanah. In brief summary, Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. Rosh. In the Hebrew, that's head. Literally means head, Rosh, of the turning, Shana, the turning of another year, but also the opportunity for each person to turn over a new leaf if and start a new leaf if needed on the new years. Yes. Each person can make a choice to turn away from wrong into right, or turn away from right to the wrong thing. People do that. Things are going to turn one way or the other. All depends on what we do, okay? So Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be the day when God writes in his books his decree about each person for the following year because of what they have done in the 30 days of Elul and the 10 days leading up to Rosh Hashanah. You see?
Yes, sir.
So he writes his decree, but still gives a little more time for repentance, just a little more, in case your repentance could change God's decree.
Amen.
When 10 days later on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, it is said that God seals his decree. So to the Jewish people, whatever he wrote about you is now sealed after the great Day of Atonement.
Yes, sir.
See that? The only time the actual phrase Rosh Hashanah appears in the Bible is in Ezekiel 40. When God gives prophet Ezekiel visions of angels measuring the different parts of the temple, showing us that God measured his house and decreed judgment during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Even between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, God measures his house and decreed judgment, good or bad, against it. And so Ezekiel 40 verse 1, in the 5th and 20th year of captivity, in the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the 10th month, day of the month would be Yom Kippur. In the 14th year of that same, was smitten in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me up thither. New Year's, Rosh Hashanah, when God gives him that. At sundown, going into Rosh Hashanah, way back in 2020, there was a liberal abortion supporting Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died.
Yes, sir.
She died. But on Saturday, September the 26th, 2020, back then, the day before Yom Kippur, President Trump announced his nomination of conservative pro-life Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court to replace her.
Yes, sir.
She was confirmed a month later, but this was a huge answer.
Yes, sir.
To decades of prayer everywhere. But now need to review about the month of Elul, which is the final month of Jewish New Year, the final month before the Jewish New Year begins.
Yes, sir.
The month of Elul, final month, began at sundown on August 24th.
Yes,
from one Elul all the way to Yom Kippur is 40 days. This is a very meaningful period of 40 days.
Yes,
the entire 40-day period is included in the days of awe. They call them the days of awe. Although 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Great Day of Atonement, is considered the main days of all. The month of Elul usually takes place in August or September, like I said, is known as the season of Teshuvah. Teshuvah means to repent and return.
Yes,
repent and return. The root of Teshuvah is the word shub. It means to return,
yes,
to turn back, to start to a, return to a starting point, bring back home again, build, circumcise your soul. Separate the precious from the vile. Call to mind, carry back again, convert, draw back, get oneself back again, go home again, recall, refresh, restore, return, then again, on and on and on. The month of Elul represents the time of personal and corporate repenting and returning to God.
Yes, sir.
Personal and corporate repenting, returning to God. Returning to God as Father and as King. For the entire nation, for each individual, for the entire ministry. It's specified that during the month of Elul that prayers are to be offered up in an entreating and fearful and tearful voice. Some shofar blasts, they mimic the type of the sound of the morning or whatever, on and on and on. So the trumpet, the shofar is blown every day all through the month of Elul to call people unto repentance. Every day in the month of Elul is blown in preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming up. Tekiah, a long single blast, which means the king's coronation. We crown you, God, as king of the universe. God the Father. Shevarim, three short wail-like blasts, like repent. Oh, we repent, we repent. Teruah, several short blasts of alarm. Awaken the soul within you. Tekiah, Higadol, a long final blast. All these every day that they do, you see, you hear. The month of Elul is therefore a time of preparing for the 10-day period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. That's where everything comes in and it's finally sealed. Rosh Hashanah, New Year's, Yom Kippur, Great Day of the Atonement. The 10-day period is a high, high holy days. Sometimes a feast of tabernacles like Sukkot, like booths. When they came together, they come about a week after Yom Kippur, at the Great Day of Atonement. The Jewish people would do, they'd have a tent in the backyard and they'd come together for God. It's considered the high holy days. It's called the days of all reverential respect. Although the 40-day period is also referred to as the days of all, or the days of all. During Elul, it's the best to get our personal and spiritual house in order. I do every day, but you need to do it now. Elul is a month of taking stock of one's actions, spiritual improvement of your actions. What kind of spiritual improvement do you have? In preparation for the new year, you see? Elul is a month of divine mercy and forgiveness. A time where collective reflection and examination is to be done by you. And God is doing this every day. Of course, every day as Christians, we're to do this, but the seasons that God has originally set apart, well, then we should recognize and respect and honor that. Teshuvah also means that we return to the path that God knows for us before we were born. And remember, I've shown you in Genesis 1 and 2, real quick, God created the heaven and earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the womb, the deep. God created every human spirit. He knew everybody who would be conceived. We said yes or no to God then, in the beginning. So you had to say yes to God in the beginning. So you come into the earth and you live it out, and God is obligated to deal with you at least one time. Are you hearing?
Yes,
sir. So if you said yes to God, you're not going to hell. But in life, you have to live and repent and make sure you don't. How's that?
Yes, sir.
But if you said no, then you're not going to really feel much about it and it won't bother you much at all and you're just going about your business. Do you see?
Yes, sir.
So Elul comes out of Hebrew. Elul, Ani, it comes from Ani, Ladodai, Vadodai, Li. And so you take the first letter of each of those, and I've told you, A-L-U-L, Elu, like Aleph, Lamed, Vav, and Lamed, is the way that those words are. The basic word picture of God is, he's the bishop and shepherd of your soul. Also, very importantly, Elu is an acrostic, like USA is the United States. So it's an acrostic, E-L-U-L, of those Hebrew words. Okay, the Hebrew word, Ani, Ladodai, Levodai, and Li. The word Dode in that is the root word for the name of King David. What does King David mean? Boiling love. Boiling love for God. And he like had boiling love for people. I'd hate to be someone who didn't have boiling love. Wouldn't you? You know, for whatever, for God, ministry, for my children. I'd hate to be that. Anyway, so Dode in that, same root word as the name of King David, boiling love. Elul is the month where we are to return to our beloved God in everything, and he returns to us, even in your study of the Bible, your prayer, your communication, your communion with God all the time. Return to it.
Yes,
so Elul is the month where we are to return to our beloved God, and he returns to us. Teshuvah, repent and return. This shows that the month of Elul is meant for us to draw closer to God, our beloved, by repenting and returning to him. Returning how? What if you haven't been praying and communing as you should? Return. Return back to prayer. What if you haven't been musing and studying and looking in your Bible and hearing all this and taking into it? Return back to that. Did you see what I'm saying? So returning to God is in different steps. But, you know, the big time is total return to him when you get born again and saved. But from there on out, you have to live in a state of improvement. Do you see what I'm saying? If you live in a place and you don't keep improving, it's like you don't keep improving yourself. You don't even do that to yourself. You don't improve yourself. I'm improving all the time. So the month of Elul is meant to draw closer to God, our beloved, by repenting and returning, and go closer to your man of God and everybody you know. You're also a Delphus man of God beloved. Do you see?
Yes, sir.
So as we humble ourselves and repent before God, our beloved, he returns to us with compassion and forgiveness. See that?
Yes, sir.
Other meanings, it's the month of the king is in the field. So month of Elul, king is in the field, the month of Elul is referred to as the days when the king is in the field. Throughout all normal year, it is difficult for the average citizen back then to meet with the king. It'd be hard for you to meet with the president of the United States. They had to travel to the capital city, book an appointment, wait days or weeks, kind of like going to a doctor. Appointment would be short. Citizen would not always get to express what he wanted to the king. The king might say, hey, look, you got 5 seconds. Here, get out of here, go now. But this is the time the king's in the field. He sits and listens to you.
All right. Yes,
sir. And you can approach him. Is that good or not? You can approach him like maybe other times you couldn't approach him.
Right. Yes, sir.
Anyway, you couldn't really express to the king all you wanted to. But once a year during the month of Elul, the king would leave his palace, his throne. The king would travel to different regions of his kingdom. The king would set up out in the fields. The common people could then come near to him, could express themselves, take the time they needed, and could receive the blessings of the king. During the month of Elul, the king is in the field, especially accessible for us to make contact with him. This is how the Jewish people believe that God the Father is, especially during the month of Elul each year. We must go go meet the king while he makes himself open to our cities and to our cries, opens more to than usual, that believe that God, the Father's ears are more attentive to the people's cries during this time and period. So do this, but also I live this myself all the time. I live it all the time, every day. Every day. I search myself all the time. Now, repenting, restoring personal relationships. It's a time of repenting, restoring personal relationships. During Elul, there's a strong emphasis upon returning and repenting.
Yes, sir.
Restoring and reconciling. Relationships with people, with God-given relationships. I can tell you this, listen. There are some relationships that you can't really get restored.
Yes,
I know myself. So what can I do? I just go forward and thank God. Hallelujah. You see, any good that was done before, I just appreciate it. But anyway, God has others for me. You see what I'm saying? And I've experienced that myself, okay? I have. Now, during Elul, there's a strong emphasis upon returning and repenting. Restoring and reconciling. Relationships with people, with God-given relationships. You make things right with anyone that you've wronged if you can. Some people, if you go tell them what you did, they're going to get you in trouble. So don't you just tell God.
Right.
Hear that, somebody? I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. For sins committed against other people, one must first ask forgiveness and be reconciled to that person, if possible, before God will accept your repentance, if it's possible. Just as Jesus said, Matthew 5:23, therefore, when you bring your gift to the altar, therefore remember thy brother that hath aught against you. Leave thy gift at the altar and go thy way. Must be reconciled. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come again and offer thy gift.
Yes,
so, you know, come to the altar and if you can restore something that they would receive you, they wouldn't harm you and all that, do it. But if not, just let God know that, Lord, I'm very sorry. And I pray that some way this person can just know that. Does that make sense to you?
Yes,
you understand?
Yes,
you can't wallow in it forever and ever and ever. You just got to keep on going. So I guess everybody maybe has made a mistake or two somewhere. If someone has committed a crime against another person, they must take it up, make it up in some way if they can. If a person has stole something, like this way, that's a crime, from someone else, the stolen item must be returned. So if you stole something, return it. If someone has pained in some way, they must be taken and they must become less angry and less hostile. If you've been pained, don't get angry and hostile to somebody. Leave it alone. You hear me?
Yes,
so that's a way of forgiving too.
Yes,
this applies to errors of everyday life and what we call walls or stumbling blocks between people, which will hinder your relationship with God and with others. There are three main parts of repenting during Elul. Three main parts. Repent and return to God and your true self. Prayer, reattaching yourself to God. That's repenting. Then charity, justice, and renewed love for your fellow man in Adelphus. that you know that maybe you could help and you have the means to do it. Does that make sense to you? So repent, return to God, and your true self in prayer, reattach yourself to God. Then charity, justice, and renewed love for your fellow man in Adelphus. Many Jews contact anyone that they have wronged during the month of Elul. Man of God, Perry Stone, listen. During Elul one year, the Lord impressed me to write a letter to an older minister's wife asking her to forgive me for a misunderstanding that occurred over 39 years before. Now, I felt a great release in my spirit, and on the Day of Atonement, the Lord gave our ministry the greatest financial breakthrough in our time that day in history. So he's somebody who lives in forgiveness. We grew up in a denomination, you live in forgiveness. Many, he and I come from the same place. I know him very well. We minister together. So Elul is a time to get everything right that you need to in all dimensions, so there are no blockages between you, God, and man, and everything else. First of all, what about this, everybody? One thing you better get right, have you been robbing God? Have you been robbing God?
Amen.
By not bringing all the tithes, offerings, gifts, and tribute, and thank offerings that are needed in the ministry. Are you robbing God? Have you been robbing God? So I'm the Lord, I change not, Malachi 3:1. Therefore, you sons of Jacob were not consumed even from the days of your fathers. You've gone away from my ordinances, and I've not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You say, where shall we return? We thought you were with us. He said, oh, no, you're not either. No, you left me. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, where have I robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. 10% of everything comes through your hand. And offerings that ministry needs only known. If you rob God in tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. Will a man rob God? Said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You've robbed the whole, not only God, but the whole ministry. And men of God and all. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me in this whole nation. Bring you all the tithe in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And when you look in there, anything in italics was added by the translators. It said, tithes, bring all your tithes. But he said, that's not enough. Tithes are not enough. God bring offerings too. Stop robbing God. Tithe and offerings. Do you see? Now, man of God Moses, on his sixth ascent up to God, one of the most famous instances that put the month of Elul on the map.
Yes,
man of God Moses, on his sixth ascent up to the mount for God, one of his most famous instances that put the month of Elul on the map took place in the book of Exodus, Exodus 31-34, right through those two chapters. The month of Elul all the way to Yom Kippur, the month of Elul, 30 days all the way to Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, is a 40-day period that man of God Moses spent on Mount Sinai. He was there 40 days. After the incident of the golden calf, man of God Moses, the sixth of eight ascents upon Mount Sinai, the sixth one was the month of Elul. Man of God Moses had just received the first set of 10 commandments from God on his fifth ascent, came down before the children of Israel, broke them when he saw the calf and all them dancing around, and he cast the tables out and break them before the mountain on and on. Man of God Moses broke the Ten Commandments. Exodus 32:19, broke them before the mountain. The ground, ground up the golden calf, put it in water, and made the people drink it. Made them drink the golden calf. Did you hear? Literally, absolutely, physically, yes, he did. So that's how much authority of God he walked in. Man of God, he put the golden calf, he put it in water, ground it up, made them drink it. He took the calf, which they had made, burn it with fire, ground it to powder, strode it upon the water, made the children of Israel drink it. Many were killed, 3,000 that day. Exodus 32:27, he said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man by his sword, go in out through the gate to gate in the camp. Slay every man and his brother of every and his companion and every one of his neighbors. The children of Levi did according. And that day they fell 3,000 men. Those that did that and did not go with God, they killed them. They killed them. Do you hear? Under the instruction of God. So they were killed, 3,000. It was a terrible sin and a terrible judgment. Terrible sin, terrible judgment. Man of God, Moses then went into the great intercession for these rebellious children of Israel. He went into intercession. Exodus 32:31. And man of God, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, the people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now," Exodus 32:32, "yet now if thou wilt forgive, will forgive their sin. If not," and after sin there in the original, you know how you take a sentence and you'll get to a point and there's more to go and you put dot, dot, dot?
Yes, sir.
Continue. Is it continued thought not here? "Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin," only place in the Bible you can find it. "Yet now if they will not forgive their sin," dot, dot, dot.
Yes, sir.
Because he went into such deep intercession. "If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." He came into a place where those dot, dot, dots. I'm pretty sure he was speaking in tongues, in a heavenly language of God. Couldn't even be interpreted. Couldn't it be interpreted? He was speaking in tongues, speaking in the language of God that could not be interpreted. Dot, 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 right there. And if he will forgive their sin, dot, dot, dot. "If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." The Apostle Paul. I say, I lie not. I say the truth. Romans chapter 9 in the Holy Ghost. "I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh." The Apostle Paul said that about Israel. You see? Well, God promises to go with man of God to show him his glory even after all that happened. God tells man of God to come back up on top of the mountain in the morning for his sixth ascent. That morning was the first day of Elul. That morning was the first day of repenting and return. Exodus 34:1-4. "And the Lord God said to Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. I will write upon these tables the words that were on the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning," and come up in the morning, God said. God said, go up there. I'm going to write these again. "You be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning, Elul 1, upon Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me in top of the mountain. Elul 1. No man shall come with thee, neither any man be seen throughout the mount, neither let no flocks or herds feed before the mount. And he hewed tables of stone like unto the first God did. And man of God Moses rose up in the morning, the first of Elul, in the morning, and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands the tables of stones up to God, and said, okay, Lord, here they are. I present them to you. And so God said, thou shalt not. God did it again. Elul 1. That morning was the first day of repenting and return. One of the most famous instances that put the month of Elul on the map. Do you see? Hallelujah. Praise God.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.